find information on how a instant exchange operates. There's some information that's a very high level and doesn't really explain too much. And then there's also the administration of talking to RIPE and what objects do you need and how do you get IP addresses and stuff like that. Well, there's many policies included. And yes, I wrote everything as an acronym soup because that's pretty much what it is. So LabX is a community-run internet exchange. We made this because I like BGP and network routing. And I would like to play more with it. So in LabSat we have a facility called LabiColo. We will get more into that at some point. But we offer a service called a route server. Again, I will get more into it. What that is, we have we can assist you in how should you talk to a local internet registry to get an AS number and IP addresses. You can actually start looking into real network routing stuff and not just play with it in a virtual machine. You can do BGP stuff, BGP security, and research and build on what is RPKI and things like this. Also, yes, I wrote 9K MTU. We don't have that currently, but we will very soon set that up to 9K MTU. It's currently 1500, like most. So what is an internet exchange? Well, the very simple way is it's a VLAN on a little switch, and then some networks are connected to it. Well, that doesn't really say much. So let me explain what is the internet. First, this is how you do internet routing or network routing. We got some prefixes. You find a facility that would like to host you. That includes some power and cooling and stuff like that. You install your machines. You set up a routing daemon. That could be like Bird if you use Linux or other things. Then you have some peers that other operating network operators, and you will peer with them to get their content. And then you also need a transit uplink, which is how do you? Yeah, well, now you're in like facility with, and you can connect with the other people in that facility. But how do you connect with the rest of the world? We're not Copenhagen; it's just it doesn't contain the whole internet. You need a transit that says we will like to transport the traffic from your network over to the destination and profit, I guess. So let's set a scenario. You are an eyeball ISP. You are currently located in Hyllgedam, coincidentally where we are. And a eyeball ISP is that you have some customers with eyeballs. They consume content. That could be watching their favorite series, or watching the news, or somehow get content in. You don't host servers necessarily. So for you to be able to have, to say, like when a customer wants to, connect to another provider to get content, you need some IP addresses. That is, well, hopefully most of you know, is like an address, like a postal address, where do the thing need to go? You also need that for your servers. Then, yeah, you need housing and fiber stuff. I won't go into the fiber stuff, and I don't dig too much into layer 1 things, only layer 3 in this case. So how does the network connect with other networks? You probably cannot see my mouse. So we have in the left, it's called, in this case, called ACMA. This is one network provider. What if ACMA is ACMA 1 and ACMA 2 are not located in the same city and the same facility? Well, in our lovely picture here, we have two transit providers that need to go through first. So says Comcast and say GDT, they just have some providers in the world that exist. And then we can go into argument number two. That could be where all the nice services are hosted or similar. It could also be that what if argument one and two are located in the same city, they're just not really connected. And it would be perhaps too expensive to connect them. So let's look at what is an autonomous system. It says AS1 and AS2 here, AS something. In other ones, so we have a lovely RFC that describes a AS as a connected group of one or more prefixes run by one or more network operators, which has a single and clearly defined routing policy. I can explain a tiny bit more on that, but it is the most clear explanation I have found until now, so that's why it's here. So a AS is an organization, as I said, and we have views what we call AS numbers or ASNs to identify an organization. That could be your transit provider, that could also be your friends in the other side of the facility. And they have some, you and the other ASs have some prefixes allocated to them, so you know where the content should go, or the traffic should go. So the routing policy, it's found in databases, regional internet registry databases like RIPES database. These routing policies say something like, I have authorized to use these IP prefixes, and they should so announce the IP prefixes at all traffic to these prefixes should be destined to me. And it could also be that you have some customers that may be a little bit more fancy with their networking, and they would also like to announce through you. So you are their transit. And that could be some business customers, for example. Or in our case, Labitat, or me, where Labitat is my uplink. I have included a lot of places, links to things that can be read more on. Since I found these useful, I have left them in. So peering and transit. First, peering is that we agree it's free to both of us. There is some optics, fibers included, and like things like cross-connect, where you have to, like, you are located in a data center, and you would like to connect to the other side of the data center. This sort of data center takes a bit of money for that. It costs usually some X amount per month. We only send traffic distant to each other. That is totally fine, as long as we don't, that's like a balance, and we don't tip the balance where I send a lot of traffic to you and you don't send that much traffic to me. But it's fine, we peer with a lot of people. Then we also have transit. So transit is, yes, where it costs per megabit. And this, I will transport traffic from you to other networks. As I always said, if you want to go to the other side of the globe, you perhaps don't have the funds to lay a cable over the Atlantic or something similar. So someone has done that for you, and you will just pay them. What is the instant exchange then? We keep local traffic local. We avoid what we call the trombone effect. This is an image of the United States, says San Francisco, New York, and Los Angeles. So what would be the shortest path between San Francisco and Los Angeles? Clearly not New York, at least. That can sometimes happens with how it's due to some characteristics with our network routing. You look at the shortest path, for example, and in many cases, also other things. But it could be that your transit just didn't have a direct connection between San Francisco and Los Angeles. So you would need to go over New York. Well, so we have the internet exchange to avoid these kind of things. It also gives lower latency because, again, we keep local traffic local. It's easier to interconnect with other networks. So what if we are two small providers and we don't necessarily have the need to connect to each other? But why should we pay transit when, like, we are located in the same facility? But we can't justify paying the fees to have this cross connect active and similar things. When you have the internet exchange, it makes things a bit easier when you're local. So here's a very, very simplified topology of an internet exchange point. There are four providers of some kind. They all connect with one link in to a meet me room, as we call it. And with this, we now instead of everybody connecting to each other, with I have one cable to you, you have one cable to you, I have one cable to you, we just have one cable in, and then we get the traffic via that cable. Then could be like a larger cable, for example. What I showed here is yes, we do have to meet people. But in an internet exchange, we also can go from what we call bilateral to multilateral peering. And it is, well, from many to many to one to many. As the image also shows, we have the route server. And again, I'm explaining this because it was not that easy for me in the first 5 hours to understand why the fuck do we need a route server. It was not really clear, but now it's more clear for me at least. So the control plane traffic is now aggregated to the route server. It's not don't necessarily aggregate all the data plane traffic, but we at least the control plane traffic. It kind of looks like this. We need less maintenance. We need less points, like less configurations that you can screw up with. If I'm already connected to a route server, and we have some new clients that comes to our IXP, and then joins the route server, we can immediately peer with each other without necessarily agreeing and talk to each other directly. So we can have our peering policies set as, yes, I would like to accept everybody who's on the router. We can also have a little more sense on what is going on in our IXP, like traffic stats. Our router looks like this. It's a very small machine. It uses 6 watt of power. We chose this because it was free, and we had it. I had it in my storage, so it fits really well for our use case. The Lambda-side internet exchange is only for very small devices, embedded devices like an APU2 or Raspberry Pi. It didn't really make sense to have a large machine that could do fancy stuff and have many more routes and things like that. So the software is, Debian is, we use a route server as a config parser to then to create our BERT config. We use BERT as a BGP speaker. So a route server does a lot of automation of, like, we have a list of clients and we have some AS sets and we have some prefixes and similar things, and then a route server creates all the all the 300,000 line config files. So we don't need to maintain that. Yes, server hosting, it's located in Labicolo. Again, yeah, there's links all over the place. Oliver and Asbjørn will go more into details on the Labicolo on a talk on Sunday. So, but the very short version is it's intended for things like Raspberry Pis and APU 2s. But at Bornhack, you can connect to a Labify village, or you can connect via VLAN, which I haven't received yet. So, yeah, but you can connect. So we have made it so since our uplink is very nice that we had transported the VLAN via Labitat and then over Fibaby. Which is then Bornhack's uplink. And that means we can have the whole VLAN transported, or the whole ping LAN transported down to the camp. That's a bit weird, but since we could, we did it. So our switch looks like, our switch and our rack looks like this. It's a horrible mess. But again, the switch was pre-used thing is a Cisco switch. We are all using it. It could do MAC port filtering, and that's like fine. It's nice for avoiding loops. It's a switch. That's not really much to show other than it could do that. We actually tested out a switch which we found out could not use MAC port filtering. So yeah, that's why we keep this. We have a peering policy set up. So when you join an internet exchange or start peering with other networks, accept that peering policy. So it could be like, I only accept traffic that is distant to you, I only send traffic distant to you, and you only send traffic distant to me. In an internet exchange, we have a few more things, not much. We will accept IPv4, ARP, and IPv6 addresses, Ethernet frames, sorry. We do not like proxy ARP, we do not like OSPF, and other kinds of things. We will do MAC port filtering, again, to avoid a lot of loops. And the same with proxy ARP, creates funny things on the network. So, routes learned through the peering network are not allowed to be announced by BGP. And we also would not like to be connected via a tunnel of some kind where the MTU is lower than 1500. So you have to be directly connected to us and not a remote IX, which defeats a lot of the purposes of internet exchange. Though I have nothing against remote internet exchanges, but for our purpose, it didn't really fit. You have to get some IP, internet resources, I call it here, but yeah, IP allocations. So a AS number and a IP address is like, that's a large pool. I usually call it a cake. So a large cake. IANA owns a cake. And then RIPE, which is the organization handing out IP addresses in Europe and Russia and Middle East. They get a bit smaller piece of the cake, which they can then hand out. So you have the local internet registry that then they can then have a little smaller piece of the cake, which they can then hand out to you. So RIPE do not want to talk to you. They have decided that they do not want to you talk to you, sorry, unless you are a local internet registry, and that means you are a RIPE NCC member. I am a private person, so if I want a AS number, I do not necessarily want to pay the 1600 euro fee per year to be able to talk to RIPE. So you need a sponsoring LIA to be able to get addresses. You can find some nice people. You can also pay a bit for it. And there are multiple ways to do it. So we have found a LIA that we really like. It's a project called Free Transit Project. And there are some nice people. So what is the difference between IP addresses when you have an ISP and you are a network operator is that you would usually like your IP address to be globally routable. That means it's your IP addresses and the route to them is in everybody's routing table. That is reasonable, but when you have an IXP, you do not necessarily want to be globally routable. There's no reasons for the routers in your network to have a global route. It should only be the routers on the peering LAN which should be able to connect to you. You have the how do I know that you have some resources allocated? It is available in the regional internet registries databases, again, like RIPE, that we use in our case. So what you need to create an IX or just as a person, you need an organization object, you need a maintainer object, you need a person object. As a network operator, you need an AS set. This is for other networks to include in their routing policies, so others can know that they are allowed to announce your prefixes, for example. And I've again included a course a small, very nice course in the bottom here. So I also found out there's some miscellaneous info I could never guess. When talking to our local internet registry, which then forwarded it all directly to RIPE. The obvious one is that your IX needs a name. So do you also want a route server? You have to think of that, and you probably do. So then it means you need a AS number. And also, you should probably get a 16-bit AS number because you never know if some customers bring really old equipment that cannot handle 32-bit AS numbers. A little bonus is that also that a 32-bit AS number fits on a Danish number plate. So you can find a number plate that is valid in Denmark. So you also need some prefixes, and this is one of the reasons why I said this, but not global routable and globally routable, because we do have a shortage of IPv4 IP addresses. So RIPE is not very keen to hand them out unless you really really need. They have set aside some addresses. And that's why you say, yes, I solemnly swear that I would not use these to as normal services. And then you would get them. Hooray. You can also get a /48 IPv6 or larger if you really need, but you probably do not need a larger. We use 6 addresses out of a lot. Again, things I had not thought of was get a hold of receipt or contract confirming connectivity to IXP colo site. I had to find our our bill to our uplink. I guess it makes sense that our facilities somehow should have an uplink. You also need to say, yes, I do have three customers that are willing to peer at our XP. So I'm not just creating an XP for one, for me, and then I have no customers. This also matters if you want to go in, have the be present on PeeringDB as an IXP. Again, it's like the magic number is at least three. And also with the IXP database. And these are some databases that people, network operators use to find out what IXP should we go to, and what facilities should we go to, and who's there. So it's a very nice way of network operators talking to each other. It's kind of like a social media, but we don't post pictures. We just post where we are. So yeah, facilities, like what is my address? And then you also need at least one contact person and a phone number. Yeah. Just things I didn't know, and then it took 4-5 days extra to get all these sorted. So if you can send it at the same time, like you would save a few days of talking back and forth. So yes, the local internet registry. We used Free Transit project. I have used it for my own AS number. There are some nice people, also some hackers. I like this, but also I have a bias because I know some of them personally. If you want to find some local internet registry services, you can search on an Indian RIPE LIA service. And someone will gladly take your money to get an ASIN number and some prefixes. It is really expensive as just a organization to get IPv4 addresses, but I won't dwell too much into that. It's just because we have a shortage and there's a market for that shortage. So, similar projects are sorry, my my tech phone is calling. okay, there we go.
You might as well answer.
I'm not answering that. So no, somehow. So there are many internet exchanges in the world that are community run by network operators, and it kind of makes sense. Like some people got to go get an OIB and said, "Hey, why don't we do this?" And then they did this. So yeah, like there's also commercial runs, like a lot of them also. But I find it kind of inspiring that a lot of them are just, hey, let's do this, and then we did this, and people donated equipment and money and hosting and stuff, and it kind of just worked. Really nice. Yeah, there's also some hosting, some projects similar to ours. Our hackerspace is, we have ColoClue in Amsterdam, we have K-Space in Tallinn, we have CommunityRack in Zurich. They offer some hosting of some kind to small machines and some larger machines for private persons or small businesses. There's also BGP. What the fuck? They do BGP stuff similar to us, but they are just in Warsaw instead. And we have in Berlin also, which I learned recently was also existed. So if you're interested in finding some of these, I will say thanks to my collaborators. So I did this as a school project also, so hooray, I got ECTS points for this thing. Olivia and Daniel helped me build this, and we also have Yori, which is from the Free Transit project and really nice. And then Ashburn, Tønnesen for having way too much knowledge about networking. It's a bit dangerous asking a question because then you get a very long answer. Here are some good resources that are like PNGDB, the interconnection database. Yes, NOC meetups like we have in Denmark. Most countries have them. That's a RIPE Academy. I learned a lot of on IPv6 with the course. That was really nice. And you don't have to take the certificate. You can take the course. You can also pay to take the certificate if you want. But you can learn a lot for free. Yes, the Network Start Meetups Research Center is. They also helped me in some of the introductions and slides they have. That's really nice. That's also, I didn't go into BGP filtering. It's a very important thing of network security. There's a small guide on that InnoNOC have made collaboratively. And then InnoNOC also have a thing they call InnoNOC Ring. It's a nice way to find out how reachable is my prefix. And you can find us in at Bornhack, in the lab site, or Lab Fair Village. That's a deck number. In all other days, you can find us on Labitat. We have a website for the IX. You can also find it on PNGDB. So if you already got a AS number, you can join us. We very much like to have you. VLAN is not decided. We can also, if you bring a machine, we can probably host it. If anyone wants to kind of sponsor this project, because like it's been paid out of my money until now, it wasn't really that expensive, but still I'm a student, so money. All hardware is just things we found, and we're very nice with some updated hardware and maybe a second uplink, because you never know, some machine may like just dig up the road and kill the whole uplink or something. And we like stickers. So what is next for this project? Well, we have RxP running. It's pretty nice. We have a route server running. But we would also like to have some, well, more peers, of course. But Looking Glass, which we have not set up. I would very much like to set up ARP Sponge to limit ARP requests. More monitoring, more documentation, and set up an RPKI relay. I have set up on my own network, but not for this. It uses a very inefficient way to check if AS number and prefix match. So thank you for listening. Here's the URL for the talk.